your flight. Hope you had enough time to get your baggage checked in and make it there. And now you have to get there 2 hours before your flight. Be scanned, groped, checked. And I really don't know that we are any safer today. Not in our airways, and especially not on our streets. We look at the violence that has been taking place in our major cities. Where has giving up our freedoms made us any safer? And as I believe the violence will continue to escalate in the days ahead, be careful what we pray for, what we ask for. Last time we traded away our freedoms for security, I don't believe we got any more security. We just got less freedoms. We should learn from our history and learn from those who long ago said if we would give up freedoms for a little security, before long we'd have neither. Though those aren't from Scripture, they have tended to play out. And even in Scripture, when man has looked beyond Yah to be his authority, to be his covering, to be his security, when Israel begged, you know, give us a king like the other nations, Yah told them what would happen with the kings. And yet they went ahead anyway, and it literally split the kingdom in two eventually between Israel and Judah, and caused the taking away of the 10 tribes and then of Judah itself, so that Israel ceased to exist for generations. Again, I believe we're at a crossroads in history today. We should also have our eyes wide open for the days ahead, that more lives aren't lost. Father, just thank you for your time of coming together again on Shabbat. Ruach HaKodesh, please come and open your words to us. Teach us, show us, convict us, change us, mold us, make us. Father, not our will, but thine will be done. Truly may we see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it should be a book we become familiar with, because, for example, Paul told Timothy, the scriptures you have known from your youth, and they have led you to Messiah. We forget some of those statements, or did when I was growing up, that the scripture he knew wasn't the Pauline letters, it wasn't even the gospel. The scripture he knew was Torah. The scripture that he had been taught since his youth was the law. And then according to Paul, the purpose of the law was to lead us to Messiah. Well, we sure got off somewhere because it seemed like they had the law in Messiah's day, but it did not lead them to him. What was the problem? Why did they not recognize Messiah if they had the law and the purpose of the law is to lead us to Messiah? Jeremiah said they weren't keeping it. And we know they weren't keeping it because Messiah himself told them over and over, by your vain traditions, you make the word of Yah none effect. The problem was not the law. That's what I was told in church when I was growing up. Well, the reason they didn't recognize it was they were keeping the law. He came to do away with the law, even though Messiah said, think not that I come to do away with the law. So then why would I want to think he came to do away with the law when he commanded me not to think he came to do away with the law? The problem was, Torah says, do not add nor take away. And what had the Pharisees done? Added and taken away. So that when they spoke of the law, they no longer spoke of Torah. When they spoke of the law, they meant the oral law, the traditions that, in their opinion, the things that Moshe had spoken out but not written down, and so that those were followed more than the law. Only problem with that, we see while looking back through the Talmud, there was an agreement. Skip over, just use as reinforcement. Same way with the Catholic Church, to where they have their traditions that they hold to more than Scripture itself, as the Pope is the authority. We need to be careful as we are coming back to the fullness of Scripture that we don't get into the same error. Because already you see groups that focus here, focus there. Well, we don't know about that one. We don't know. That one can't. Those are for the land. That's not. That's here. That's there. That's. And so there's arguments, debates. What should we keep? What should we not keep? What should we do? What should we not do? If we perpetuate the error of our fathers, the sins of the past, then are we going to see much of a difference in the future? So that we truly need to strive to follow all of His word. and long for the day when he returns, so that it is possible then to follow all of his word. That we have a temple again reestablished in the land, that we have Messiah ruling from Jerusalem. But until that day, to walk in as much of the fullness of obedience as possible. Instead of trying to figure out how can I get away from doing that, have a heart of, Father, how can I begin to do that? I don't want to offer strange fire. I don't want to offer an unacceptable sacrifice. I don't want to be presumptuous. But I sure want to choose life. I sure want to have a bright a light as possible so that those who are trapped in darkness perhaps can find a way out. And in the next few months, it's going to be vital that we obey as much as possible, because I believe a lot of the wages are getting ready to come due. That when we hear the sirens on the TV, instead of them going, this is a test, this was just a test, it may be the actual emergencies. And that we should be prepared. Leviticus opened up last week with how to bring an offering. Atonement offerings. What the priest should do, what we were to do. Continues this week in 3 with the peace offering. That which he presents is a slaughtering, a peace offering. If he is bringing of the herd, whether male or female, he brings a perfect one before Yah. He lays his hand on the head of his offering, slays it at the door of the tent of appointment. The sons of Aaron, the priest, shall sprinkle the blood on the slaughter place all around. And from the slaughtering of peace offerings, he shall bring a fire offering to Yah, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails and the 2 kidneys. And the fat that is on them by the loins and the appendage on the liver, which he removes with the kidneys. And the sons of Aaron shall burn it on the slaughter place upon the ascending offering, which is on the wood, which is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet fragrance to Yah. And if that which he presents is from the flock for slaughtering of peace offerings to Yah, male or female, he brings a perfect one. If he is bringing a lamb as his offering, then he shall bring it before Yah, shall lay his hand on the head of the offering, shall slay it in front of the tent of appointment. The sons of Aaron shall sprinkle its blood on the slaughter place round about. From the slaughtering of peace offering, he shall bring near as a fire offering to Yah, its fat, all the fat tail, which he removes close to the backbone. The fat that is on them by the loins and the appendage on the liver, which he removes with the kidneys. And the priest shall burn them on the slaughter place as food and offering made by fire to Yah. And if his offering is a goat, then he shall bring it before Yah. He shall lay his hand on its head, slay it before the tent of appointment, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle his blood on the slaughter place all around. From it he shall bring his offering as an offering made by fire to Yah, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails and the 2 kidneys and the fat that is on them by the loins, and the appendage on the liver, which he removes with the kidneys, and the priest shall burn them on the slaughter place as food and offering made by fire for a sweet fragrance. All the fat belongs to Yah. an everlasting law throughout your generations and all your dwellings. You do not eat any fat or any blood. Now here we begin to see again a practical application of why Yah was having the slaughterings, the offerings done as they should be. When he brought the sin offering, everything was burned. But on the peace offering, only part was burned. The rest was actually consumed. But even in what was offered, the Father used it to teach even from a clean animal, everything in it wasn't healthy for us to eat. So that again, by obedience, we are literally choosing life. Choosing what is best for our bodies, because he is our creator, surely he knows what's best for us. And it's amazing if we begin to look today, especially at our American diet, we go completely against what Torah says as a whole. To where many people prize the fat. And they don't want to trim the fat. They want to make sure there's a big hunk of fat left all around the meat that they eat. Now, I can understand I don't like to eat meat that's dried out, tastes like cardboard. But I have been strange all my life in that I always trimmed all the fat off because I never liked it. I have no idea why. When we were first married, my wife wondered why I trimmed stuff so close. But you can learn how to cook and prepare lean meat and it still be moist and, in my opinion, tastes better than any of the meat I've ever eaten that had the fat on it, because you can actually taste the meat and not just taste the oil, the fat. Then, as I got older and began to see the studies of all the toxins that are held in the fat, you began to realize some of why Messiah, why Yah, had the directions, instructions, commands that they did. When you began to see all of the impurities that are contained in the blood and the blood-borne diseases, you began to see why his instructions were his instructions. When now even the health experts say, cook it till such and such a temperature so it kills everything that's in the blood. But even in our attempt to be healthy, in man's pride and hubris, we're going against Torah. The new meatless meats. Do you know how they make the new meatless meats? They soak most all the vegetables in blood. So that it has the flavor of meat without any meat. In our marketing, our government, our protectors, take what used to be a vegetable, soak it in meat and blood, because last time I checked, vegetables didn't bleed, and still say it's not meat. Now it's vegan. Now it's vegan. Or vegetarian. Go look at the new plant-based meats. Gives a little different thought process to the Impossible Burger. I would imagine it's the outside of the fat, because it's the fat they could cut away as they were cutting the meat. You can't really cut it out. But there's a lot of fat on the outside of the meats. Yeah, yes, they will, but they'll have much less marbling. If you raise the grass-fed beef, has marbling. A grain cow-fed beef has veins, rivers, fingers of fat running through rather than marbling. And so I think there's a big difference when we say, oh, that's just the marbling. When the marbling is six times larger than it ought to be, we're again getting not into natural. But then when we begin to see that we shouldn't mix the seed, that we should have it of its own kind, you get into a whole nother discussion already that we'll have later on. What should we be doing to the best of our ability to come out of her, my people, to live pure, eat clean, and have the health effects that we do? But here we have a beginning. Eat no fat, eat no blood. That's doable. It's harder today, but it's still possible to bleed your meat even after you get it, because all the meat just about we've got still has some blood that's pulled, and we always rinse that, let that go, not save it to put in the pot. It's been rendered into oil, but is that the fat, or should we be using, oh, I don't know, olive oil, oil pressed from other things? Because most of the fat that I know of that's rendered is the fat right there that just got cut away. What can we begin to do? How can we get closer and closer to what the Father wants us to be? How can we make sure we're part of those who are going to endure to the end? He gives us clues. He gives us instructions. He gives us ways. But we get to choose life or death. We already know the wages of sin is death, so if we're disobeying what he said is best for us, probably not going to be the best for us. Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20, starting in verse 30 instead of 40. Let's back up a little bit. Therefore say to the house of Israel, let me stop right there. Who are you? Have you been grafted into the house of Israel? You do realize there were two nations back then, Israel and Judah, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And he refers sometimes to the house of Judah, sometimes to the house of Israel. If he's referring to the house of Israel, that's the whole kingdom, or the northern kingdom. That's not just the Jews, not just the house of Judah. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Master Yahweh. Atrocities. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel, as I live, declares the Master Yah? I am not being inquired of by you. What comes up in your spirit shall never be when you say, let us be like the nations, like the tribes and other lands, serving wood and stone. Now, did you catch that? Let's read it again. This is Yah speaking. He says, shall I be inquired of by you? What does that mean? Yeah, shall I be asked of me? In other words, are you praying to me? Are you asking me? He says, I'm not being inquired of by you. Now, who do they think they were inquiring of? They said they were inquiring of Yah. But he said, you're not asking me. Listen to the next one. And what comes up in your spirit. So they even had a witness in their spirit. They ask, and they got a witness back. He said, shall never be. When you say, let us be like the nations, like the tribes and other lands, serving wood and stone. Oh, well, that's not us. We haven't said, let us be like the other nations. Really. So we haven't asked for a united nation. We don't have political correctness. We are the world. We are the children. Oh, they seem like nice sentiments, except for he says, come out of her, my people. Touch not the defiled. Oh, I know it's not very proper. But the fireman does not go in the house that is on fire and sit down to the perishing. But to pull someone else out, I have to be out. I have to be prepared. I have to. Gotten the mote out of my eye before I can worry about the... gotten the log out of my eye before I can worry about the mote in yours. As I live, declares Master Yah, do not I with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with wrath poured out reign over you? We like the meek and mild part. And I shall bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the lands where you are scattered. And with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. Now, who's that wrath poured out on? Oh, well, not me, hallelujah. My sins are covered. I'm a child of God. When I walk upon a group of children being foolish, I know what child I drag out, and I know what child my wrath is poured out on. Mine. My child's the one I bring out. And my child's the one that gets my wrath because he shouldn't have been there to begin with. Do you know why he's having to bring us out? Because we haven't come out. Didn't he say, whom the Father loves, he chastens? If a father won't discipline his son, he hates him. You want God to hate you or love you? That's why he suggests you repent quickly. But do you know why he chastens us? For my own good, so that I quit doing the things that are causing me death and begin to choose life. Why would I not want his correction? Why would I not want his discipline? If I've not repented. If I need the hell beat out of me so there's no hell in me. So that the enemy has no place for me when he comes in the days ahead. There are no cracks, no doors, no places for him to slip in. Is that not true love? Well, maybe that's not what it means. Let's keep going. 35. And I shall bring you into the wilderness of the peoples and shall enter into judgment with you. Face to face there, as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Mitzrayim, so I shall enter into judgment with you, declares the Master Yah. Now, how did he enter into judgment with those he brought out of Egypt? brought them out, brought them to the Red Sea, took them through the Red Sea. Well, that wasn't too much judgment. Was there any other judgment to any of them while they were there? Well, they had to wander in the wilderness because they didn't go in. I would say that's pretty bad judgment. They all ended up dying out there. Oh, yeah, some of them did not want to listen in the wilderness, and he split the ground under them. And what happened? They died. They rebelled again, and fiery serpents came out and bit him. And what happened? They died. They wanted to act foolish. Yeah, and plague broke out. And they died. Do you get that? He brought them out of Egypt. They were saved, translated from that kingdom. Baptized, went through the Red Sea. But there was something else before they got to enter into the promised land. Do you know what it was? Same thing that brought them out of Egypt. What did they have to do to get out of Egypt? Obey. Obey. Put the blood over the door. What did they have to do to get through the Red Sea? Obey. Believe. Believe he could deliver them, and when they opened up the sea, walk through. And you know what they had to do to go into the promised land? Obey. Believe. But you see, there was obedience and belief that got them out of Egypt, but it didn't get them to the promised land. There was obedience and a belief that got them through baptism, but it didn't get them into the promised land. Oh, well, I'm glad we're under the new covenant, Brother Gerald, and the blood of Jesus has covered my sin. Hallelujah. And the master shall look to them that day, and they shall say, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not heal in your name? Did not we do mighty works in your name? And he shall say, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's Messiah's words. Do not look to me for your salvation. Look to him. And if you are assured of your salvation under Messiah, hallelujah. I hope that's based on his word and not what came up in your spirit. If it's not based on his word. The scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I don't ever want to stop to obey. I want to always repent and obey. Because the moment I choose not to obey, I have chosen sin. And the wages of sin is death. Yes, he came to set me free from that. So that now I can actually choose life. Before I was trapped, I had a sin nature that controlled me. I belonged to the kingdom of darkness, but hallelujah, he made it where I could be born again. That old things could pass away, all things could become new. Now I can choose to take up my cross daily. and choose daily to die to self and live to Christ. What about the day you decide not to do that? Well, I guess you choose not to die to self. What does the scripture say? If you lose your life, you save it, you gain it. If you don't. See, scriptures we've all known, the scriptures we've all read, the scriptures we claim to believe, but do we live them? Do I realize that I was not just saved, but I was saved for something, that he had a purpose, he had a reason, and that even Messiah told me now to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Not one day after I've flown away to glory land, now, did Jesus tell us something to pray that was just impossible? Did he lie to his disciples when he taught them how to pray? Or have we been sold a weak salvation? Have we been lied to about what all he has for us? Has the enemy deceived us and to staying in his camp instead of crossing over? Verse 36, I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Mitzrayim, so I shall enter into judgment with you, declares Yah, and I shall make you pass under the rod and shall bring you into the bond of the covenant. Now, when is this? Well, this is when he begins to gather the nations. When he takes you out into the wilderness again. A lot will say this is the second Exodus. This is in the end days. It's when he's going to begin to draw his people together. I shall make you pass under the rod, shall bring you into the bond of the covenant, and purge the rebels from among you and those who transgress against me. There's a reason why he's telling us to prepare now. There's a reason why he's telling us to get our house in order, to learn, to trust, to obey, to move, to choose, to seek him while he can still be found. Jeremiah said he opened the ground up and swallowed people up. Do you know the only ones that got swallowed up? Ones who were around there. And what did the call go to those who were around them before the ground opened up? Come out of her, my people. Even then, the call came. Get away from the tents of those. And those who stood and did not move perished. Those who had been rebellious, but who moved, what happened to them? They lived. Why? They repented. They obeyed. They chose. No, it doesn't mean we'll always be perfect. It doesn't mean I'm never going to, talk to my family. I do ignorant stuff. But I hope not to stay there. I hope to repent. I hope to choose. I hope when his chastisement comes that I learn. Yes, hallelujah, it is by his blood that I'm saved, not my choosing. But saved to what? Saved from what? Saved just one day to go to heaven? Why didn't he just blink us out as soon as you accept him? Because I'm saved for a purpose, to see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as in heaven. To begin to walk, and that everywhere my feet shall tread, I should have dominion. Oh, wow. Almost like the first thing he said to Adam and Eve, go forth and have dominion. The thing that Messiah told his disciples, go forth and make disciples. Have dominion. And even on Pentecost, go first to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. Purge the rebels from among you and those who transgress against me from the land where they sojourn or bring them out, but they shall not come into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am Yah. Oh, the closer we get to his kingdom, the closer we get to his return, the closer we get to ruling and reigning with him, him living, you're not going in if we're not obedient. He's coming back for a wrinkly, crinkly, has-been bride. He's coming back for a rebellious and smart-mouthed bride. He's coming back for a free, woo, whatever bride. No. Coming back for a pure and spotless bride. He's not coming back to purify and despot a bride. He's coming back for a bride that's already pure and spotless. When you look in the mirror, do you think you're pure and spotless? You got a problem. Oh, I need his correction. I need his wrath. I need it to drive out all that's in me that's not of him. I need that stake to die. And he loves us enough to do it. As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Master Yah, go serve each of you his idols, and afterwards, if you are not listening to me, but do not profane my set-apart name anymore with your gifts and your idols, for on my set-apart mountain, on the mountain heights of Israel, declares Master Yah, there all the house of Israel, all of them in the land shall serve me, therefore I shall accept them, and there I shall require your offerings, and the first fruits of your offerings, together with all your set-apart gifts. As a sweet fragrance, I shall accept you when I bring you out from the peoples, and I shall gather you out of the lands where you have been scattered, and I shall be set apart in you before the nations, and you shall know that I am Yahuwah when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the land for which I lifted my hands in an oath to give to your fathers, and there you shall remember your ways and all your deeds with which you were defiled, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight because of all the evils that you did, and you shall know that I am Yah. when I have dealt with you for my name's sake, not according to your evil ways, nor according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares the Master Yah. Hallelujah. For his mercy, that he's not going to deal with me for all of my corrupt deeds and ways. If I repent, if I choose to obey, if I will walk in his ways, though my sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. But it's time for us to choose this day whom you will serve. Seems like some are going to stay. Oh, I'll just worship God here in the midst. I'll just worship him the way I always have. Oh, he'll take my all. He'll take. Doesn't seem to go so well for them. Oh, I'll go out. I'll come out, but I'm still going to worship him the way I have been. He knows my heart. Yes, he does. That's why Jesus came and died. My heart was exceedingly wicked, it says. Again, those who enter in by Messiah. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. But you can only go in through the door. The scripture says only the thief comes in through the window. We have to do it his way. Not my way, not some way. His way. Revelations 8. And when he opened the seventh seal, there came to be silence in the heavens for half an hour. And I saw the seven messengers who stand before Elohim, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another messenger came and stood at the slaughter place holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him that he should offer it with the prayers of all the set-apart ones upon the golden slaughter place that was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the set-apart ones went up before Elohim from the hand of the messenger. And the messenger took the censer and filled it with fire from the slaughter place and threw it to the earth. And there were noise and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven messengers who held the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first messenger sounded, and there came to be hell and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Look at the fires going on now on our west coast. The fire is going on that was in Australia. The second messenger sounded, and what looked like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and the third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. I'm not sure what Fukushima looked like burning down through the earth and into the sea. But we have vast swaths of the sea now that are dead zones. We have miles of plastic floating in the sea that's a dead zone. And if you looked at the Baltic Dry Index, I think we're up to about a third of the ships that no longer are sailing. I would imagine more than that now with the coronavirus. Interesting. The third messenger sounded, and a great star fell from the heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the fountains of water, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. Might be interesting to Google and look at Planet X, look at the things that have been seen in the heavenlies lately, or some have already called it from years back, Wormwood. Yeah, Gil Broussard has a lot of information on that. The fourth messenger sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. So that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked and heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, crying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those dwelling on the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three messengers who are about to sound." I wonder if we're not getting ready to see a time when the eagle is crying, "Woe, woe, woe to the nations." Oh, we think because of all of the internal conflict of the calamities that may be about upon us, as we're already crying, "Woe, woe," to have had more COVID deaths, supposedly, than anywhere else in the world. But is it because of the things that are getting ready to come? He that has an eye to see and an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, so be it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have promised there is a time when you will bring us out . But Father, today we want to begin to come out of her. We want to begin to rid ourselves of her ways, that we partake not of her plagues and her sin. Father, that when we come out, we will already be walking worthy. That we can already be ready to pass under the rod. Father, we do ask that you would chastise us, you would purge us, rid us of any wicked ways. Father, open our eyes to the things that we even thought that are not of you. That even in the jot and the tittle we would obey, but even more so, that we would love. Father, that we might choose life, that your Son would give us life and life abundantly, and all those who'd see would say, "Truly, their El is the true and living El." We ask these things in your name, that thy kingdom may come and thy will be done. Amen. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Leolam Vayet. Shabbat Shalom.